afternoon, the February 19, 2019, regular meeting of the Chatham County Salamis Metropolitan Planning Commission will now come to order. Please stand for the invocation and remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time that we can get together and take of the business of the MPC. I pray that you bless each of the people here representing the public and those serving on this board. I pray for the ones who are not here, that if their bodies be ill, that you would heal them. We continue to pray for our servicemen and women. Bless us now. All this rest in thy name, amen.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Please be seated. There is a sign-in sheet near the door to the hearing room. Please sign this sheet to record your attendance at today's meeting. For those who would like to speak, we ask that you sign one of our blue speaker cards. Give the blue speaker card to the staff member at the front table so we can call your name at the appropriate time. There are agendas on the table outside near the door to the hearing room. Today's agenda is broken down into several parts. First, notices, proclamations, and acknowledgments. Next, consent agenda, which consists of items for which the applicant is in agreement with the staff recommendation and there are no known objections. To outline the order in which the meeting is conducted, each petition is report presented by staff to the board providing information on the petition. After the staff presentation, board members may ask questions of staff regarding the presentation for clarification. The petitioner is then offered to make a presentation regarding his petition to the commission. Time frame of 10 to 30 minutes is allowed for the petitioner's presentation. The board may then ask questions of the petitioner for clarification. Afterwards, the floor will be open for public comment. The total public comment time will be equivalent to the petitioner's presentation time. Therefore, it is important that speaker cards are provided to the chairman if you want to speak on a petition. Once the floor is open for public comment on the petition, no additional public speakers will be allowed. If you are not certain you want to speak, still provide a card. You will have the option to decline when your name is called. After public comment, the petitioner will have the opportunity for rebuttal and then additional needed questions by the board. Finally, the board will take action. The first item on the agenda is the approval of the agenda. Do I have a motion?
Motion to approve the agenda.
Second.
Motion's moved and seconded. Any discussion? We'll vote. Motion passes. Notices, proclamations, and acknowledgments. The February 28, 2019 planning meeting of the commission has been canceled and it will be reset at a later date. Notices, March 12, 2019 regular MPC meeting, 1:30 p.m. in the Arthur A. Mendoza hearing room. Item number five, items requested to be removed from the final agenda. We'll go through these 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9. Item number four, major plan, general development plan, Montgomery Street residences. Number five, new construction in the Mid-City Historic District, Lynch and Associates. Number six, rezoning map amendment, 135 East Montgomery Crossroad. Item number seven, rezoning map amendment, 215 Whitaker Street, rezoned from RIPB to BC1. Item number eight, rezoning map amendment, 2007 Awaska Street, RB1 residential business to BN neighborhood business. And item number nine, Chatham County local historic landmark nomination, 8417 Ferguson Avenue. All of these items have been requested to be removed from the final agenda. Do I have a motion?
Do you want to ask anyone to speak on this?
Anyone in the audience to speak on any one of these issues? Here, nobody, I'll take a motion.
Make a motion.
Second.
Have a motion and a second. Please vote. Motion passes. Items requested to be withdrawn. There are no items to be withdrawn from this agenda. The consent agenda. Item number 10, approved January 29th, 2019 briefing and regular meeting minutes. Do I have a motion?
Motion to approve.
So moved. Oh, I'm sorry, second.
Any discussion? All in favor, vote. Sure.
If we're voting on a consent agenda, wouldn't we typically vote on the entire slate on the consent agenda rather than each individual item? And what's the purpose of this?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We do. I thought you just called it.
Motion passes. The next item on the consent agenda is item number 11, a general development plan for 115 East Congress Street, Congress Street Car Wash. Anybody here to speak on that? They'll take a motion.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? Please vote. Motion passes. There is no old business on the agenda. We'll go to regular business. Item number 12, revised general development plan, La Roche Avenue, Herb River Bluff. The first here from staff.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Vice Chairman. An issue with this agenda item is a revised general development plan for a 57-unit single-family residential development known as Herb River Bluff. It's located on the west side of La Roche Avenue between Carolyn's Retreat and Nottingham Drive. The proposal was actually seen by you back in September of 2018 and was approved by the County Commission on August 3rd, 2018 in conjunction with a rezoning to the multifamily residential 5-unit-per-acre district. And we actually got through to the specific development plan stage of this project when it was discovered that the right-of-way width for a portion of the development is 34 feet wide. Now, the Chatham County subdivision ordinance requires a minimum 60-foot wide right-of-way for this size of development. The subdivision ordinance does permit the MPC to grant a waiver to reduce the size, the width of the right-of-way. However, when it came before you for the first time, it was just an oversight and we never acted on that waiver. So nothing else has changed from what was approved by the county. The county did approve it with various conditions related to buffering. And all of those conditions have been met on the specific development plan, which we have seen. But before we can approve the specific development plan, we do need to revisit this and have a waiver granted by the MPC as a formality. We have forwarded this on to County Engineering for their comments. Their main concern is that the narrow right-of-way width will not allow for sidewalks completely within the right-of-way. So in the case that they cannot be accommodated, the sidewalks cannot be accommodated within the right-of-way, easements will need to be obtained along these properties. So one way or another, there will be sidewalk, but it will depend on whether or not they're in the right-of-way or the private easement. That being said, we do recommend approval of the general development plan with the conditions that the reduced right-of-way width be granted to allow a 34 feet wide right-of-way, and that County Engineering shall vet the sidewalk issue and make sure that sidewalks can be accommodated in this development.
Any questions of staff? Yes, sir.
In this development, will there be any on-street parking allowed?
I do not believe so. The petitioner, I believe, is present. He's shaking his head no. He can answer any specific questions you have. I don't think there's enough pavement width to accommodate that, but on-site parking will be provided via the driveways and the garages.
The petitioner here. We'll step forward and state your name.
Yes, I'm Neil McKinsey with Coleman Company. I don't have any additional things to present, but if you have any questions, I'd be glad to answer.
Yes, sir.
Can I ask you again, now that you're, will there be any on-street parking allowed in this development?
No, sir, there won't be. All the parking will be in the driveways. One item of note here is on the west end of this development, they do have a mail kiosk, and they do have turn-in parking there, but that's it. It's not actually on the street.
And the hammerhead, if you will, and then the dead end, does that mean county code? I mean, it seems that we narrow down to if that's 34 feet, I can't imagine what the ends of the cul-de-sac, or not cul-de-sac, but hammerhead.
Right, so those, it does narrow down to 22 feet, but those can be increased to what's approved, to the width that's approved.
And last, are the tips of those hammerheads, is that on their private property or is that the extended easement or right of way?
Those will be in the right of way. But this is all private, so it'll be within a private easement.
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
Say somebody's having a party or something. Where are the people going to park?
That's a good question. Borrow your neighbor's driveway, I think, would be the appropriate. No, sir. There won't be enough room on the, you know, on the street. Maybe stacking cars, in the driveway would be an option. I just don't know how many you'd fit.
I just don't see how, if somebody did invite someone over, where are they going to park?
It's a valid concern. So the road widths, in the large, median, and the middle, each drive aisle is 18 feet wide. And I know we talked about not having on street parking, but for a party or something like that, it doesn't occur all the time. I think that's an option that they could park in the street there. There is room to get around with the 18 foot wide width of the road.
Any other questions for the petitioner?
Can I ask one last question?
Yes,
what
sir.
Is the major reason that the 34 foot right of way? What is it, the size of the homes, the setbacks, or all of the above?
It's all of the above. So the width of the width of the property and the product that they want to build on the property, really necks down how wide that that access easement could be. And you know, in order to make this a viable project, had to fit as many as we could on there, and that kind of led to the necking down with.
I've seen the northeast corner and then the southern boundary, those lagoons, if you will. The other median that's in the center where it divides and then back there where the kiosk is that paved? Is that grassed? Will that be allowed for parking, or is that?
It'll be landscaped. It'll be landscaped. So also of note here, along the roads and inside the median to the left, those will have sidewalks. The median in the middle, the large median will not have walks, but they will be along the homes.
Any other questions for the petitioner? We'll entertain a motion.
I'll move that we accept staff's recommendation.
Second.
Any discussion?
Mr. Chairman, but on the 4-5, you know, the turning radiuses and the back that you call the hammerhead as you get back there, is there sufficient turning radius for fire trucks? And obviously, if you do curbside parking, a truck is not going to get through there. It's impossible. That's just a concern. I don't know what else to say.
There's some major concern for me. To the left of the little turnaround, if you will, and below to the southeast of the large lagoon, is that the gate? To the right. With the median?
So the gate, yeah, if you see the large pond due east of that, there is a median in the middle of the road. That's where the gate is.
Yeah. And can that be altered a little bit here or there? I mean, I'm just concerned about the turning radiuses, not just for fire and EMS and emergency equipment, but I mean, just getting a delivery truck, a trash truck on that curve, I'm not sure of the placement. And has this been vetted through the engineering department?
Yes, which curve are you, do you mean the bump out one due east of the pond?
Yes.
So the bump out, so that bump out there, if it's okay to, can I?
Yes.
You've got a point here,
Terry. So this bump out here is a turnaround for people that can't come in.
Correct.
The main access. The main access is full, you know, full width road all the way through here to the gate, and there will be a Knox box and everything at the gate.
I'm just concerned of with the placement of the gate to be able to maneuver. I mean, it's not even in the center of that area. So if you do make it, you know, it's tight.
Mm-hmm. Is this going to have to be approved by county traffic engineering? Or?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Then we'll let it.
Right. We'll let them take care of that.
Okay, I had asked if that was already done, and I understood it had. I'm sorry.
Right.
Well, the county already approved all this, right?
The county, not the specific development plan hasn't been approved because, for one reason, the waiver hasn't been granted, but the formal approvals for the specific development plan has not been granted yet. They've reviewed it the first go around, but nothing's been formally approved.
We're good then.
We're just going to I'll pass those on to engineering too, just to make sure.
We're just talking about the waiver.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Motion has been made and seconded. Any further discussion? We can vote. Motion passes. The last item on the agenda, rezoning map amendment, 2026 Haversham Street, TM2 traditional neighborhood to TC1. We'll hear from my staff first.
Yes, good afternoon, Mr. Vice Chairman and members of the commission. At issue today is a rezoning request for this triangular parcel. Let me get you the context map here. At the intersection roughly of Haversham and East 37th Street and this rail corridor. It's a triangular shaped set of parcels here. It's currently vacant with the exception of this small building here, which is in a fairly dilapidated state, and a determination has been made by our historic staff that it is not contributing. So, let me go to the zoning map here. Yes. And so currently these lower four parcels are zoned traditional commercial one. This falls within the mid-city zoning district, the mid-city historic district. And so at issue is a rezoning of these two parcels. Now, because these two are split zoned, between TC1 and TN2, under the current provisions of the ordinance, they would also be considered TC1, but for sake of completeness, all four will be under consideration for rezoning. So in essence, the petitioner here wishes to move this zoning boundary between TC1 and TN2 up to the property line here. This is a city right-of-way lane. TN2 and TC1 are generally compatible mixed-use districts within the Mid-City Ordinance. Because TN2, in this case, it has different development standards for corner and mid-block parcels. And because these are adjacent to a lane and intersecting rights-of-way, they would be considered end parcels, or corner parcels, and hence allow a wider range of commercial uses. I believe it is the intention of the developer to build a multifamily apartment complex, though at issue before you is simply the rezoning request. Looking at the range of uses, I can show a comparison here in terms of what is permitted in the two districts. There are a number of different, between TN2 and TC1, there are a number of different civic uses that would be permitted within TC1 and a wider range of commercial uses. Now I should caution that a number of the commercial uses that are permitted, such as gas stations, convenience retails, microbreweries, and a few others that are permitted under the TC district, but not in the TN district, are subject to special use approval by the Board of Appeals. And such would be, the merits of those individual uses would be evaluated on a case-by-case basis. Looking at some of our criteria for the rezoning in this case, we find that the uses permitted would not exceed the capacity available on the street or tax existing civic infrastructure, would not be contrary to the purposes of the zoning district. Surrounding the parcels of interest are civic and institutional uses primarily. This is Nairobi's Grits and Gravy, a SCAD building. We have a restaurant, a old gas station, which I believe we converted into a restaurant, and a church over here. So from a contextual perspective, it is already surrounded by mostly commercial uses. Now, there are residential uses up here, but there are primarily multifamily, and there are countless examples in Mid-City, being a historic mixed-use district, of commercial and residential uses existing quite harmoniously. So with that, there's one little note that with regarding the future land use plan, which I believe should be in here, I would say it's partially consistent as a result of this being zoned traditional neighborhood. Well, this is, or not zoned, but designated traditional neighborhood, while this is traditional commercial. There, I would say it's a matter of partial consistency because both are mixed-use districts, both permit a wide range of commercial and residential uses. Even if it's not to the letter of the intent of the future land use map, it is at least partially consistent. As a result of all this, staff recommends approval this rezoning map amendment, and I'm happy to entertain any questions.
Any questions of staff? Is the petitioner here?
Yes.
Step forward and state your name for the record, please.
Thank you, Marcel. My name is Jay Maupin. I'm with Maupin Engineering. We're agent for the developer. The developer, unfortunately, had another appointment out of town, so was not able to be here today. He is correct, Marcel is correct, that this is a intended to be a multifamily project. If you have the... We've had it surveyed, and it is a patchwork of various different little pieces and parcels in through here. And so we are planning on cleaning this up and unifying this into one parcel. So as a result, we're needing to unify the zoning into one zoning classification as well. The TC1 allows us a little more flexibility. The developer is planning on providing, this is our schematic plan at this point. We're probably 50% way through with the design documents at this point, but there will be 15 residential units on this property. This is a schematic elevation of what the units will look like. This is the same developer that did the project at the corner of Bull and 37th Street, which recently opened, and Big Bond Bodega is about to open in that facility as well. However, this project will not have a commercial aspect to it. It will be straight residential. The top floors will be more of a penthouse with then five parking garages and then five individual single car parking garages, and then the surface parking for the remainder of the units. I'd be happy to answer any more questions, but it's
any questions?
Exciting.
Did you say 15 units?
Yes, ma'am.
Was that elevation the rear elevation?
It actually is a rear elevation. It provides you a little bit more. I've held a little bit more information. I don't want to get into bogging down with too much detail here.
And I take it they're going to demolish the existing building?
Yes, the existing building projects out into the right-of-way. It's not a historically significant structure. It just needs to go away.
Any other questions? Parking spaces on to go away. Five and then...
Correct. There's 15 surface parking spaces, okay. And then we have five garage parking spaces. And then, of course, we'll get credit for some of the on-street parking on Plant Street and Haversham as well.
Any other questions? I don't have any speaker cards. Is anybody here to speak on this issue? Take a motion from the floor.
Second.
Motion's moved and seconded to approve MPC recommendation. Please vote.
Thank you very much.
Stand adjourned.